I'm begging, please, Lord, I can't take this no more. So tired and weak, there's no strength to be found. So hold me close, can't you see? I'm on the road. I'm not scared to die, I just wanna be free. Who knows when I'll stop
Just listen to Frank Diaz with his song, When I'll Stop Breathing. The song was written about a good friend of Frank's, Jerry Ched Dunham, who passed away recently, and really touched a lot of people deeply. The lyrics of the song actually came from some of the final conversations and direct quotes between Ched and Frank. The musicians on this recording are Taylor G. Moore on vocals, John Powers on acoustic guitar, Brad Castle on drums, Frank Diaz on rhythm guitar and bass, Sandy and Paul Noons on piano, organ, and congas, and the subject of today's Musicians FAQ episode, Mike Whaling, who produced, engineered, and mixed the song at his studio, Sarah's Hall, and also took care of electric guitars and backup vocals. Good morning, it's Steve Todd, and I want to thank you for listening to Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS. This show was pre-recorded using Zoom during January's lockdown, so hopefully at the time you are listening, bars and restaurants are back open with live music, and Mike's studio will be up and running, and some of his music projects delayed by the COVID-19 lockdown will be released. Let's check in with Mike Whaling and learn more about his musical career. All right, thanks a lot for listening in to Musicians FAQ. It's Steve Todd. Today on the program, we have Mike Whaling. Thanks a lot, Mike, for being on the show.
Oh, no, thanks for having me.
Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, like where you're originally from and how you got involved with music?
My name's Mike Whaling. I grew up in Hanover, which is a couple of hours north from where I am now in Stratford. And just from an early age, I just kind of always had a hankering, whether I was beating on things with sticks or humming or whistling or singing or whatever. And then a guitar showed up in our house when I was about 11. And I still haven't put it down. Just kind of kept going. And it just progressed from there. Any avenue that opened up, I thought sounded interesting. And sure, let's try this.
Were you growing up in Stratford then, or were you living up in Hanover still? Or?
No, I grew up in Hanover, and I lived there until I was about 19. And then I did the Toronto trip, where I spent a couple of years playing the circuit in Toronto, which was a tough go. But, you know, hindsight being 2020, I met some of my favorite people that I still stay in contact with and get to work with, and just some fantastic musicians. And then I came this way, ended up in the Stratford area about 25 years ago, and just fell in love with it.
So did you take, you must have took lessons and stuff in high school? And
well, I took the obvious music classes in high school, and I was largely self-taught on the guitar.
Okay.
But then at the same time, I jammed with so many people, and everybody always has something to offer you, so you're always learning. Doesn't matter. So I didn't have structured lessons, but I learned an awful lot from an awful lot of people.
What kind of music were you playing? You know, like that area is pretty big into country. Is that what you were playing? Or?
No. I was in high school. All I wanted to play was rock and roll.
Okay.
That's all I really wanted to do. And from high school, I jumped from there to, I played blues for the better part of 20 years. I had a couple of versions of a 3-piece band and just played all over Ontario and did that. And now I've kind of gone back on my own. I'm back kind of into the rock and roll and that sort of thing. But these days I'm pretty open minded. I enjoy working on other people's projects as much as my own. So if it's country or jazz or folk, whatever it's coming through the door, I love.
I know I saw online a band called Pigeon Jones. So that must be one of these bluesy bands. You had a sax player in there.
Yeah, the sax player was early on. He was fantastic. We were all kind of local to Stratford, and that was kind of my second version of my 3-piece band. And
okay.
we played as the 4-piece for a couple of years, and then we streamlined it down to a 3-piece. That's actually still the band that I use in the studio these days. So
really?
So Pigeon Jones is the house band for the studio these days.
That's awesome. I love 3-piece bands too, because even for the bass player, there's so much freedom to have fun and to do, because you have to fill out the sound, right? So
everybody's got to contribute. Nobody can take the night off.
Oh, yeah.
You can't just sit in the back and take her easy. So you get the right 3 guys on the stage and some wonderful things can happen.
Oh, for sure. I saw a video. You're on a cool stage. Is that Masonic Hall? Is that where you're playing in Stratford?
That would be the Masonic Concert Hall. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to play many gigs there over the years. It was really the only venue in Stratford that wasn't a pub or a bar. So we would play in there a fair bit. And there was, at one point, there was quite this blues concert series that was going on there.
Really?
So we opened for a lot of guys like Jack DeKaiser and Steve Strongman and George Oliver. We opened up for in there. And it was always fun because we could go in and, you know, it's a good band and we can play for an hour and have a good time. And then we get to be entertained, which when we've got a gig isn't usually the case.
That's a great place to go. I've only went there once for like a benefit for the hospice in Stratford, but what a great hall though.
Oh, absolutely. We always enjoyed it. The capacity was good. The audience was always very receptive. We even did we opened for a country show once, which was a real odd pairing, but he was a buddy of mine. I just really wanted to play the show. And once again, they just seemed to be music lovers. They didn't care if it wasn't country that they were here. They just wanted to hear fun, good music and dance sing along when they knew the words.
If I could reach the stars, I'd pull one down for you. Shine it on my heart so you could see the truth that this love I have inside is everything it seems. But for now I find it's
It's only in my dreams that I can change. No other way, and our love would rule in this kingdom we had made. But for now, I find wishing for the day that I can't change.
The guys in your band, maybe you can just give them a shout out to the main guys you're playing with.
Well, the longtime drummer now is Stefan Sesniak. He's again based out of Stratford, but he's done some stretches with Ian Thornley and from Moist. David Usher is his name. But I've been playing with Stefan for over 10 years, and Frank Diaz is playing bass, and I got linked up with him a few years back, and just every time he plays the bass, I just enjoy.
Sounds good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Where did the name Pigeon Jones come from? That's kind of an odd name.
Yeah, you know, it was actually from a silly Far Side comic.
Really?
Of all things, yeah. Like, I know band names, everybody wants to know what the hidden meaning behind a band name is, but this one was literally, there was a rough-looking buffalo standing there in a leather vest, and he had a rifle, and underneath it said Buffalo Bill. Then there was a rabbit and, you know, one scraggly ear and a bullet hole through the other ear. And he's got a couple of six shooters on his belt and his cowboy boots. And it said Hobalong Cassidy. And then beside it was this ridiculous looking pigeon standing there with a shotgun. And he just looked like he had been to war back, and said Pigeon Jones. And it made me laugh.
Okay.
And you know, but the funny thing was, is even around my hometown, I mean, people called me Pigeon.
Oh, really?
They genuinely thought that was my name.
Crazy.
So I did correct them eventually.
Yeah. Why don't you go back to Toronto? So did you leave high school and then go straight to Toronto and start gigging and looking for work?
Yeah, I got a job in a little music store in Brampton. I met a couple guys and put a band together and just kind of went out, not knowing what we were doing or where we were going. But we thought that we all got along great. And still to this day, I'm still very, very close with those guys.
Okay.
And we just kind of went out and we played downtown Toronto or Brampton or Mississauga. We didn't go to the East End too often, and then kind of bled out through into the Kitchener area and Guelph and that sort of thing. And that band went on for a good solid 7-8 years.
Well, good for you. Okay.
A couple CDs and
really right? Okay. What name was that?
That band was called the Wailing Blues Trio. Right. We didn't know what to call it, so we used my last name. The Pigeon Jones thing came once I was in Stratford.
Pop the Gator was such an iconic place. Did you ever end up playing in there?
I never got to play there. Yeah. I was there a couple of times. I just listened to the stories, and everybody just, like, everybody misses that place.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't get to play it. I did get to play in Lulu's once, which was just like a highlight. It was Colin James and the Little Big Band. It was the second Little Big Band record. It was 2 weeks before the release, and I remember, I was 20 years old and wandering around, and they were sold out. They were full capacity, and we were used to playing bars with like 75 to 150 people, and all of a sudden there's thousands, and it just absolutely changed my entire opinion of live music.
I can imagine.
Business, and it fed that hunger.
Oh, even just being on the stage with the lights and the sound and everything like that, like it's just
that's it.
Overwhelming.
The whole thing, and having this captive audience that are just digging it and, you know, and bouncing along. Yeah, the whole thing was just, it was like an instant addiction that I wanted those bigger shows.
Oh, wow. Okay. Let's take a bit of a pause and we'll listen to Mike Whalen doing a song solo. This one's called Perpetual Blues Machine.
Your hands down, your head glass, you had everything to make a love last. You had grace, you had charm, you had me hanging on your arm. When I found out you were a fake, you ran up and bit me like a snake. I wasn't ready to let go and let all my feelings show. Tell me why you wanna be so cold. Why you wanna be so mean? You gonna let your true colors show? You're a perpetual blues machine. You could have been just fine if you'd have only been all mine. It was for real, but you did not know it, that you were stepping on my heart as you were walking out the door. Now I know just who you are, and it's a damn good thing it never got too far. I'm not the one who's right for you. You need a man to do your rolling like you want him to do, baby. Why you wanna be so cold? Why you wanna be so mean? You gonna let your true colors show? You're a perpetual blues machine. Now you're gone, and I'm glad that it never really got that bad. You know I tried to make it go, but there was just no way to tell you so. Baby, why you wanna be so cold? Why you wanna be so mean? You gonna let your true colors show? You're a perpetual machine.
So how did you end up back in Stratford then, going from Toronto to Stratford?
My parents had opened their business in, they had one in Exeter and one in St. Mary's. I was at this point a 21-year-old musician playing blues, so I was as broke as you can imagine.
So I
actually moved to the area. And the plan was to work for a year, save some money, and go back to the city. And it just didn't happen. I met my now ex-wife, and I had my two boys. And I stayed in St. Mary's for about 8 years there. And then that's when I kind of made the shift, and I started associating more in Stratford. And that's kind of how I got here. But again, I moved here because I needed money, and I just absolutely loved the area. And with the music industry, it doesn't really matter where you are. Because no matter what, like the gigs, you got to travel anyway. So it doesn't matter if it's in Stratford or Kitchener or if it's in Vancouver, because I've got an airport 2 hours away. So it doesn't really matter where you are. So I love to travel. I love going to the big cities and seeing these big shows. But I love coming back and just kind of hometown. It's nice and laid back, and I know people. And so I just stayed.
No, I love Stratford. Like, I was living in Tavistock up until about a year ago, and now I'm in New Hamburg, but I'll still pick Stratford for shopping and for everything, whether it's restaurants or entertainment. So there's always so much going on there.
Well, that's it. Well, some of the restaurants in Stratford are fantastic. Like, yeah. The problem is you can't eat at all of them all the time.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Too many to pick from.
Were you gigging at any of the places like the Hub or any of the Boar's Head?
I love the Boar's Head. But the problem is their windows, I don't think, would have survived us.
Oh, the volume?
We're not any louder than we have to be, but it's pretty high energy, and they put you in a little spot. We used to play the Dominion House in Stratford a lot.
Yep.
And I loved the DH. It was a great sounding room. And once again, it was just music fans showed up and they wanted to dance and they wanted to listen and they were engaged. And I loved it because you got that purposeful crowd rather than the roving Saturday night bar crawl.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. So I just always really liked it. We played the DH, and that was really about the only venue we played in Stratford, unless it was we were playing like the concert hall or something like that.
So at some point you must have got more into sound and into guitar repairs and on the tech side as well, I guess, right?
Absolutely. Well, and it all started the same way. Like when I was just 19, 20, living in Toronto, again, like you're playing gigs and you do what you can, but like if my guitars didn't work, I couldn't afford to pay somebody to fix it. So I just had to learn how to do it. Yeah. And I had a buddy that could show me a lot of stuff, and I just kind of dug into it. And the more I got into that, the more I just enjoyed like the puzzle of it and figuring each guitar out, because they're all a little different, and to me they all have a personality, and you know what I mean. If you do its makeup right and you clean it all up and you make it ready for the ball, it's happy and they just seem to work better.
Yeah.
So I love that puzzle, and the sound thing was literally, once again, like we're running all over the place, and I couldn't pay a sound man, so I had to do it all myself. So just over the years, I got better and better at doing sound and that sort of thing. And here we are.
Yeah. And you ended up doing, I know just before this interview, we talked a little bit about Honeymoon Suite. So you've actually been contracted by them. Is it more tech work or on the board side? Or
when I'm out with the Honeymoon Suite guys, I'm the on-stage guitar tech. So
okay.
I set up the amps and things ahead of time and make sure the gear is right. And then swap the guitars as they need them, or they, sometimes I have to wrestle cables because they get tangled in things.
Oh, yeah.
That gig is just so much work, so much fun. Yeah, like the adventures of it. Like you go away for 5 days and you go from Toronto to Vancouver to Saskatoon and back, and you play with, I mean, we had shows with Blue Oyster called Colin James and Streetheart Headpins, Prism.
I've worked with
a bunch. And we did a cruise ship in the Monsters of Rock cruise in February, which was, it was brilliant. And again, like I've never been so stressed out in my life.
Just before the COVID lockdowns and everything?
That's right. Like quite literally had that cruise been 2 weeks later, it wouldn't have happened. But once again, like watching these bands like Firehouse, which I'd always wanted to see Firehouse, and boom, there they are, right? And I get to sit there and my little badge gets me into everything. So I get to have a drink with them. Extreme was on hand, and I got to chat with the drummer from Def Leppard, and like just the adventures of it. I live for that sort of stuff.
Oh, for sure.
We'll be right back.
Sohaila Smith from Shelburne, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
Do you have any good stories you can share about road stories, things that happened?
Oh, well, you know what? There was one on the cruise. I jokingly tell people that when they say, well, what does a guitar tech do? And I'll say, you know, you go to a concert and some guy walks out on the stage and starts playing guitar, and then you got a whole audience gets excited, and then you hear them all go, oh, because it's not the band. Well, that's what I do. But we were on the cruise, and we had everything set up, and everything was just right. The first song of the set, Burning in Love with Honeymoon Suite, Johnny, he plays the guitar, and then after the intro, he takes the guitar off, and I've got to run and get it. And then I quickly make sure it's in tune, and I get it ready, because it goes back out, so he can play rhythm guitar during the guitar solo. Well, he took the guitar off, and the strap went flying. So I got over there, and when I got the guitar, and I'm dragging it, I pick it up, and the strap lock is still in the strap, and so is the screw. So I'm looking, and it's, the hole is stripped, the strap won't go back in. I have about 120 seconds to tune it, fix it, and get it back out. And it was literally a minute and a half of the biggest panic I've ever been in. But you know what? I bolted, I found the green room, some stir sticks, jammed the hole full of stir sticks, got the screw back in, and Johnny was standing there at the side of the stage. I got the guitar back to him in time for him to start playing, but he wasn't back on the stage yet, but at least the part was there. And you know what I mean? That was the first time there was just a great big grin. He was just kind of looking at me like, okay, you know what? Yeah, this kid's okay.
Yeah, you earn your keep on that one, eh?
We were in Saskatoon. We were playing Rock the River, a beautiful hotel. And there's easily 15,000 people in the audience. We're there, and Blue Oyster Cult's on stage. And I love Blue Oyster Cult. Like, you can't be in your mid-40s and not be a fan. But I'm watching their guitar tech because I'm always trying to learn what I can. And he's the guy that's lucky enough. Like, he gets to play the cowbell. And, of course, okay. It's Blue Oyster Cult. Yep. So, like, cowbell is massive. And there he is. He turns and he sits there in front of a microphone beating on this cowbell.
Yep.
And it's the first time I ever thought, I'm like, okay, I want that job. Just for the cowbell.
Oh, yeah. Are people yelling more cowbell and everything?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes the audience is half full of cowbells, right? Because people will bring their own. All from that one Saturday Night Live skit. The adventures. But, you know, again, some of my favorites are, we did a run up to Thunder Bay a little over a year ago, and there's not much to do in Thunder Bay, I'm going to be honest with you. And the weather wasn't good, and we're sitting in there. It was a fundraiser for the semi-pro hockey team up there. But, you know, you end up sitting in the hotel room with Johnny and Barry, sipping away on a beer, and they're working on songs, and next thing you know, they're asking my opinion, and I get to help. And it's just one of those things where you, like, that'll stick with me forever.
Oh, yeah. Have you done that for other bands as well?
There's a band out of England called Dead Romantic. They used to go by the name The Fell, and I did a bus tour with them, and then a couple shows down in Nashville. And Mike is one of those guys, the guitar player. He's one of the guys that I met in Toronto years ago, and just a massive talent. He's played with Elton John and Smash Mouth and David Archuleta, and he was the house guy on American Idol. Like, this guy just blew my mind every time he picked up a guitar. And just the sweetest human being going.
Yeah.
But I got to get on a bus with him and Billy Sheehan and Randy Cook. And the one other show was Rich Redman, the drummer from Jason Aldean. Like, so,
oh, wow.
Again, and you can't buy a ticket like that, riding around on a bus with these guys. A lot of Canadian classic rock bands I've gotten to work with, like Prism again and Harlequin, Street Heart, the Headpins.
Oh, you're kidding.
A lot of the shows intermingle. So, I'm already there. So, sure, help them out. And next thing you know, if they're coming through Ontario, I'll get a call and off I'll go. And actually, the very last show before lockdown, we got back from the cruise. There was a week off. And then we had a show at Casino Ramo with Prism. And that was a fantastic show.
Oh, I bet.
Great crowd. And then the following week was a show with Street Heart and Chilliwack. And that was the first one that got canceled. And I was over the moon. Chilliwack was one band that I haven't seen yet that was on the bucket list. And I really wanted to see them. And no, it'll come back around. We got to stay positive that way.
Let's take a break again and listen to Eddie Davis McKenna with Pigeon Jones with their song Pink Lemonade.
Look at the trouble you made on Miss Pink Lemonade. Dancing in the garden with your bare feet, baby. You got a sweet tooth taste. Go out and soak it all in. Got the sun shining down on your soft sugar skin. Don't buckle the madness deep in my heart. That's reason for the fools who try to tear it apart and never please them all. So just do like I do. You pour yourself another drink, baby. And slip off your shoes, yeah. Go on, go on. Keep your hands to yourself. Go on.
Todd, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS. Let's continue the conversation with Mike Whaling and hear more about his adventures as a guitar tech, his studio, Sarah's Hall, and doing repairs on other musicians' instruments.
The one thing I've learned is these are some of the sweetest human beings that you could possibly meet. Do you know what I mean? You spend a lot of time with them and you become very good friends, and they're just wonderful people. Kind of take some of the mystery out of the meeting your rock stars. But again, like I proudly call a lot of these guys friends, and even through all this pandemic, stay in touch, and I hear from a lot of them. Dave Betts, the current drummer from Honeymoon Suite, doesn't even live far from here. He keeps showing up with Martin Guitars for a visit and a setup.
Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit more about your repair shop and your studio, Sarah's Hall?
I do have a workshop in the front. The building I live in, I bought it purposely for a studio. So it's a 130-year-old community center in the countryside outside of Stratford.
Wow, okay.
So I've got the full studio up here. And then in the front room, which where my workshop is, there's a tiny little room that used to be the box office.
Okay.
It's got the ticket window and the whole bit. And then I do all my repairs and work up in there. And it's great. Like, I don't need that much space for it. The hardest part is, where do I put these guitars when they're done? I do as much as I can. I stay as busy as I can. And I get a lot of instruments up from the local area and a few guys traveling in. And the recording thing has gotten hard these days, if I'm telling you the truth. I've had a lot of projects canceled. Honeymoon Suite was actually supposed to be here 2 weeks ago, finishing their record.
Really?
But yeah, okay. Again, the producer couldn't make it from England, and Derry couldn't make it up from the States. So, you know, now it's tentatively booked for the spring. But I've got my own stuff going on the go. I've got a rock band that we've started working with a young lad from Stratford who's just got a killer voice, like a very old school rock kind of guy. So we've been buckling down, and he's one of my bubbles. So like him and I can get together and sit and play guitar and write songs and work through things. And actually, like, hopefully there'll be a single in about a month or so.
Oh, great. Okay.
I focused more on the recording studio and the production, that sort of end of it, which I just, like, I've got a few records under my belt, a couple of wonderful artists. My best friend from Hanover, as a teenager, we've made two records. And,
really?
And okay. That's really kind of that's the focus these days. And once again, I just love it. It did the whole puzzle of the whole thing. And like, it's one thing when it's your own song. It's another thing when it's somebody else's and somebody walks in through the door and they have this song and what they have is an idea. My job is just to take their idea and turn it into a real thing and hopefully far exceed their expectations and what, like, they come in with one vision and leave with something much grander.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's kind of the direction that I'm headed these days. And again, a few guys out of Kitchener, Dylan Wickens, which is he's a popular guy on the blues scene in Southern Ontario, comes through. I've done a couple of EPs for him. And John Maxim, another great musician, and just a wonderful human being. Again, out of Kitchener, he's just last week released a song called Bones I'm In that was a lot of it was tracked here, and I co-produced. So that's kind of the direction forward now. I'm just loving it, right? Like the unfortunate is you're out playing blues. Like they haven't given us a raise in 20 years.
No. It sounds like for you, like a lot of people with COVID-19, a lot of people aren't doing anything. So at least people are writing and recording still. So at least there's a demand for your services like that.
With current lockdown, I can't do it, which is unfortunate. But I did make all of the changes to the old studio here. So I can host bands to come in and live stream and actually put out a high quality product. Like I run everything through the studio, just like it's a recording session.
Yeah.
But then I interface it through to my phone and just point it at the band and go. It looks great because the iPhones these days, the cameras are fantastic. So I've got the visual, I've got the fantastic audio. Now I just need them to let me have bands in again.
Here's Dylan Wickens with Waiting. This tune was produced by Mike Whaling, who also did backup vocals.
Hold.
The one thing we've learned over all this is people miss live music. So, there is still a way to get it out there. And I decided early on in the lockdown that I think the best thing any of us can do right now is to try to help the others in the community. So again, I have this space and I have the ability. It's one of those things that I can offer up rather than having guys try to set up in their basement and fumble with it, then come in nice with a nice atmosphere, get a good sound, put out something that they're, even in 5 years when they're out playing shows, they're still going to look back at and be proud of and happy with. But again, I think right now it's important that as a community, it's a music community that we band together and we work together and we support each other,
yeah.
Which most of the time, a lot of them are good, but there's always a little bit of button heads and bands are always competing. But I've seen less of that because the time is now to work together and help each other out.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know what I mean? And that'll come around when days are better, those favors come back.
I admire you because at least you've found a way to at least keep things going and keep hopefully a few bucks coming in for yourself. And once everything's over, you can probably get back to more of a normal business with your music.
Well, that's, and I hope so. And I expect as things start to loosen up, because I know like all of my musicians, most of the guys, people I know are musicians and they're all sitting at home writing. There's so much new music floating around, which I'm really looking forward to, because I mean, I've got the guys that I work with, but I'm just excited to hear what's coming, because yeah. There's going to be so much great music coming down the tubes in the next 6 to 8 months.
Yeah. Like, do you think a lot of people have their songs completed and they're just kind of sitting on them because they need to also promote them and tour with them?
That's the hurdle. Like, what do we do? So I've been chatting with my buddy Eddie with the new rock project, and like we were working on a record and then all this happened. So now we've decided, which I know lots of guys have, if we make a record, what are we going to do with it? So put out singles and just try to entertain people. We might get to play a concert in 4 months. We might not get to play a concert for 12 months. We can at least put our music out there and try to entertain some people. And when time comes around, instead of having a new record and they know one song, maybe they'll know four.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's, again, try to put what positive spin we can on this situation. But
eventually things like the Kitchener Blues Festival and stuff will be back too. So if you're putting out some blues tunes and you're still, you know, people know who you are, you might still get a phone call for the 2022 Blues Festival or something like that, right?
So. Like, I would love that. There nothing would make me happier than getting my guys together and putting them on a stage.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. I worked the 2019 Blues Festival with Dylan Wickens. He was on the main stage on the Sunday, and I got to work that show.
Wow.
But then after that, it was, you know what I mean? Again, in 2019, I was pretty well gone for the whole year, just out on the road or working with a few different bands, and there was a big concert series going on in Grand Bend that I ended up working a lot of shows with that. I'd love to just get back at it, but again, everybody's in the same boat on that one.
On a clear sunny day, neath the shade of one tree, I play here for you as you lay next to me. I peer deep in your eyes, your mouth forms that grin. Passion takes over. Let's let that magic begin. Touching your hand, though we're both sure of this. I bend with eyes closed and we meet with a kiss. My heart bursts to flame, my pulse races on. The exchange knows no shame and I awake and it's gone. I wake and it's gone. Thank you. dancing myself now. Oh, that you felt it too. Did you wake in your sleep? As I did with a storm. Somehow, yeah, that we weren't apart. Come back to me, please. I'll make life like this. Life full of love and that passionate kiss. This time around, I'll know just what to do. Reach out to me, make my dreams all come true. Wanna please. There's a sunny day. Shade of one. Oh, the shade of one.
That was Brother Neil with The Shade of One Tree. Mike produced that song for Brother Neil and also played electric guitars. Let's continue our interview with Mike Whaling. Let me ask you, what's your favorite guitar? Because I bet you have 30 to 50 guitars at home.
So, oh, my favorite guitar?
Yeah.
Like every single one of them. I don't have that many. I have a dozen.
Okay.
I own each and every one of them for a different reason. Every single one of them grabbed me one way or the other. But I have a 1997 American Roadhouse Strat that's seafoam green.
Oh, really?
It's got Betty Boop on it, and that guitar, I don't think I could ever live if I parted with that guitar.
Wow.
One of those special beasts. It's, and you know what I mean? Nobody else has to like it, but for me, I strap it on and I start playing it, and it just seems, it's just an extension.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Certain instruments, you can almost feel something flowing through your veins when you play it. So
that's right. Like the first time I ever played it, I felt like I just met my new best friend. I wouldn't leave the store. I was actually, that was just before we played Lulu's, and I just remember I wasn't willing to leave the store until I figured out how it was I was going to buy it. You know what I mean? Actually the bass player in the Wailing Blues Trio, Tom, he ended up loaning me half the money just because I was afraid if I put it back down, I was never going to see
it
again.
Gone. Where was that? At like Sherwood Music in Kitchener? Or?
That was at a shop called Woodshed Music in Guelph. Now the Long McQuaid in Guelph.
Okay.
No, it was in a strip mall kind of tucked in behind across the road from Stone Road Mall. To be honest, I was only ever in there once.
You found your dream. Good for you. Okay.
I don't know, baby. I know, I know, I don't know. I don't know where you're from, lady. Yo, I'd like to see you stay. Forget what you were doing, no, baby. Already brightened up my day. And I don't know, I know this is crazy. Lady, please don't walk away. If you'll hang around, oh, I know we'll paint the town, even make that sky a little brighter blue. One thing is for sure, oh, I know that you can cure the lonely time that I feel destined to do. I don't know, baby, I know, I don't know. What's your name, radiant lady? Oh my God, I gotta know. I see you may feel it too, baby. Well, what a smile on such a face. Anywhere you wanna go, lady, you make the scene a better place. We can grab a bite and walk hand in hand all night. Even slow dance on the snow under the moon. With you I feel free and there's a happiness in me. I don't wanna let get away too soon. I don't know, baby. I know, I don't know. more, take a chance on this night made for romance. Take my arm, let's walk on down the street. One thing is for sure, this is chemistry so pure, and the lure of you just swept me off my feet. I don't know, baby, I know, I don't know. I know my heart belongs to you.
Just I hope everybody stays safe and like keep your chin up and try to be as positive as we can, and you know what, with any luck we're gonna get to see each other in person soon.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully I can imagine some smaller, maybe like little two piece or solo acts will probably start coming for music, and before long hopefully there'll be full bands to see. So
oh, I hope so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it was a real pleasure talking to you, Mike, and I'm gonna try to find out where your shop is. Maybe I can come visit you with some of my guitars in need of repair as well. So
anytime you want. I'm about 15 minutes west of Stratford.
Okay.
Awesome. No, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yo, thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's Musicians FAQ episode featuring Mike Wayland. Gonna end off with a live recording of Pigeon Jones performing Stevie Wonder's Superstition. This is recorded at the Masonic Hall in Stratford, Ontario in 2011. Till next time, it's Steve Todd, and thank you for listening to Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS.
Well, the devil's on his way.